Chapter 3. Clemency? Apostrophe, apostrophe, here am I, mister, apostrophe, said a voice from one of the ladders, which a pair of clumsy feet descended briskly. It's all done now. Clear away, gals. Everything shall be ready for you in half a minute, mister. Apostrophe, with it she began to bustle about most vigorously, presenting, as she did so, an appearance sufficiently peculiar to justify a word of introduction. She was about 30 years old, and had a sufficiently plump and cheerful face, though it was twisted up into an odd expression of tightness that made it comical. But the extraordinary homeliness of her gait and manner would have superseded any face in the world. To say that she had two left legs, and somebody else's arms, and that all four limbs seemed to be out of joint, and to start from perfectly wrong places when they were set in motion, is to offer the mildest outline of the reality. To say that she was perfectly content and satisfied with these arrangements, and regarded them as being no business of hers, and that she took her arms and legs as they came, and allowed them to dispose of themselves just as it happened, is to render faint justice to her equanimity. Her dress was a prodigious pair of self-willed shoes, that never wanted to go where her feet went, blue stockings, a printed gown of many colors, and the most hideous pattern procurable for money, and a white apron. She always wore short sleeves, and always had, by some accident, grazed elbows, in which she took so lively an interest, that she was continually trying to turn them round, and get impossible views of them. In general, a little cap placed somewhere on her head, though it was rarely to be met with in the place usually occupied in other subjects, by that article of dress. But, from head to foot she was scrupulously clean, and maintained a kind of dislocated tidiness. Indeed, her laudable anxiety to be tidy, and compact in her own conscience as well as in the public eye, gave rise to one of her most startling evolutions, which was to grasp herself sometimes by a sort of wooden handle part of her clothing, and familiarly called a busk, and wrestle as it were with her garments, until they fell into a symmetrical arrangement. Such, in outward form and garb, was Clemency Newcome, who was supposed to have unconsciously originated a corruption of her own Christian name, from Clementina, but nobody knew, for the deaf old mother, a very phenomenon of age, whom she had supported almost from a child, was dead, and she had no other relation, who now busied herself in preparing the table, and who stood, at intervals, with her bare red arms crossed, rubbing her grazed elbows with opposite hands, and staring at it very composedly, until she suddenly remembered something else she wanted, and jogged off to fetch it. Here are them two lawyers a-coming, mister. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Clemency, in a tone of no very great goodwill. Ah! Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried the doctor, advancing to the gate to meet them. Good morning, good morning. Grace, my dear. Marion. Here are Messrs. Snitchy and Cracks. Where's Alfred? Apostrophe, he'll be back directly, father, no doubt, apostrophe, said Grace. He had so much to do this morning in his preparations for departure, that he was up and out by daybreak. Good morning, gentlemen. Apostrophe, ladies. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Snitchy, for Self and Cracks, apostrophe, who bowed. Good morning, miss, apostrophe, to Marion, I kiss your hand. Apostrophe, which he did. And I wish you, which he might or might not, for he didn't look, at first sight, like a gentleman troubled with many warm outpourings of soul, in behalf of other people, 100 happy returns of this auspicious day. Apostrophe, ha ha ha. Apostrophe, apostrophe, laughed the doctor thoughtfully, with his hands in his pockets. The great farce in 100 acts. Apostrophe, you wouldn't, I am sure, apostrophe, said Mr. Snitchy, standing a small professional blue bag against one leg of the table, cut the great farce short for this actress, at all events, Dr. Jeddler. Apostrophe, no, apostrophe, returned the doctor. God forbid. May she live to laugh at it, as long as she can laugh, and then say, with the French wit, the farce is ended. Draw the curtain. Apostrophe, the French wit, apostrophe, said Mr. Snitchy, peeping sharply into his blue bag, was wrong, Dr. Jeddler, and your philosophy is altogether wrong, depend upon it, as I have often told you. Nothing serious in life. What do you call law? Apostrophe, a joke, apostrophe, replied the doctor. Did you ever go to law? Apostrophe, apostrophe, asked Mr. Snitchy, looking out of the blue bag. Never, apostrophe, returned the doctor. If you ever do, apostrophe, said Mr. Snitchy, perhaps you'll alter that opinion. Apostrophe, cracks, who seemed to be represented by Snitchy, and to be conscious of little or no separate existence or personal individuality, offered a remark of his own in this place. It involved the only idea of which he did not stand seized and possessed in equal moieties with Snitchy. But, he had some partners in it among the wise men of the world. It's made a great deal too easy, apostrophe, said Mr. Cracks. Lawyers? Apostrophe, apostrophe, asked the doctor. Yes, apostrophe, said Mr. Cracks, everything is. Everything appears to me to be made too easy, nowadays. It's the vice of these times. If the world is a joke, I am not prepared to say it isn't. It ought to be made a very difficult joke to crack. It ought to be as hard a struggle, sir, as possible. That's the intention. But, it's being made far too easy. We are oiling the gates of life. They ought to be rusty. We shall have them beginning to turn, soon, with a smooth sound. Whereas they ought to grate upon their hinges, sir. Apostrophe, Mr. Crack seemed positively to grate upon his own hinges, as he delivered this opinion, to which he communicated immense effect being a cold, hard, dry man, dressed in gray and white, like a flint, with small twinkles in his eyes, as if something struck sparks out of them. The three natural kingdoms, indeed, had each a fanciful representative among this brotherhood of disputants. For Snitchy was like a magpie, or raven, only not so sleek, and the doctor had a streaked face like a winter pippin, with here and there a dimple, to express the peckings of the birds, and a very little bit of pigtail behind that stood for the stalk. As the active figure of a handsome young man, dressed for a journey, and followed by a porter bearing several packages and baskets, entered the orchard at a brisk pace, and with an air of gaiety and hope that accorded well with the morning, these three drew together, like the brothers of the sister fates, or like the graces most effectually disguised, or like the three weird prophets on the heath, and greeted him. Happy returns, Alf. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said the doctor, lightly. 100 happy returns of this auspicious day, Mr. Heathfield. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Snitchy, bowing low. Returns. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Cracks murmured in a deep voice, all alone. Why, what a battery. Apostrophe, apostrophe, exclaimed Alfred, stopping short, and 1, 2, 3 all foreboders of no good, in the great sea before me. I am glad you are not the first I have met this morning. I should have taken it for a bad omen. But, grace was the first sweet, pleasant grace, so I defy you all. Apostrophe, apostrophe, if you please, mister, I was the first you know, apostrophe, said Clemency Newcomb. She was walking out here, before sunrise, you remember. I was in the house. Apostrophe, that's true. Clemency was the first, apostrophe, said Alfred. So I defy you with Clemency. Apostrophe, ha, 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 for self and Cracks, apostrophe, said Snitchy. What a defiance. Apostrophe, apostrophe, not so bad a one as it appears, maybe, apostrophe, said Alfred, shaking hands heartily with the doctor, and also with Snitchy and Cracks, and then looking round. Where are the good heavens? Apostrophe, with a start, productive for the moment of a closer partnership between Jonathan Snitchy and Thomas Cracks than the subsisting articles of agreement in that wise contemplated. He hastily betook himself to where the sisters stood together, and however, I need more particularly explain his manner of saluting Marion first, and Grace afterwards, than by hinting that Mr. Craggs may possibly have considered it too easy. Apostrophe, perhaps to change the subject, Dr. Jeddler made a hasty move towards the breakfast, and they all sat down at table. Grace presided, but so discreetly stationed herself as to cut off her sister and Alfred from the rest of the company. Snitchy and Crack sat at opposite corners, with the blue bag between them for safety. The doctor took his usual position, opposite to Grace. Clemency hovered galvanically about the table, as waitress, and the melancholy Briton, at another and a smaller board, acted as grand carver of a round of beef and a ham. Meat? Apostrophe apostrophe said Briton, approaching Mr. Snitchy, with the carving knife and fork in his hands, and throwing the question at him like a missile. Certainly, apostrophe returned the lawyer. Do you want any? Apostrophe apostrophe to Cracks. Lean and well done, apostrophe replied that gentleman. Having executed these orders, and moderately supplied the doctor, he seemed to know that nobody else wanted anything to eat. He lingered as near the firm as he decently could, watching with an austere eye their disposition of the viands, and but once relaxing the severe expression of his face. This was on the occasion of Mr. Cracks, whose teeth were not of the best, partially choking, when he cried out with great animation, I thought he was gone. Apostrophe apostrophe, now, Alfred, apostrophe said the doctor, for a word or two of business, while we are yet at breakfast. Apostrophe, while we are yet at breakfast, apostrophe said Snitchy and Cracks, who seemed to have no present idea of leaving off. Although Alfred had not been break-fasting, and seemed to have quite enough business on his hands as it was, he respectfully answered. If you please, sir. Apostrophe, if anything could be serious, apostrophe the doctor began, in such a apostrophe, farce as this, sir, apostrophe hinted Alfred. In such a farce as this, apostrophe observed the doctor, it might be this recurrence, on the eve of separation, of a double birthday, which is connected with many associations pleasant to us four, and with the recollection of a long and amicable intercourse. That's not to the purpose. Apostrophe, ah. Yes, yes, Dr. Jeddler, apostrophe said the young man. It is to the purpose. Much to the purpose, as my heart bears witness this morning, and as yours does too, I know, if you would let it speak. I leave your house today, I cease to be your ward today, we part with tender relations stretching far behind us, that never can be exactly renewed, and with others dawning yet before us, apostrophe he looked down at Marion beside him, fraught with such considerations as I must not trust myself to speak of now. Come, come, apostrophe he added, rallying his spirits and the doctor at once, there's a serious grain in this large foolish dust heap, doctor. Let us allow today that there is one, apostrophe, today, apostrophe apostrophe cried the doctor. Hear him, ha, 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 of all days in the foolish year, why, on this day, the great battle was fought on this ground. On this ground where we now sit, where I saw my two girls dance this morning, where the fruit has just been gathered for our eating from these trees, the roots of which are struck in men, not earth, so many lives were lost, that within my recollection, generations afterwards, a churchyard full of bones, and dust of bones, and chips of cloven skulls, has been dug up from underneath our feet here. Yet not a hundred people in that battle knew for what they fought, or why, not a hundred of the inconsiderate rejoicers in the victory, why they rejoiced. Not half a hundred people were the better for the gain or loss. Not half a dozen men agree to this hour on the cause or merits, and nobody, in short, ever knew anything distinct about it, but the mourners of the slain. Serious too. Apostrophe, said the doctor, laughing. Such a system. Apostrophe, apostrophe, but, all this seems to me, apostrophe, said Alfred, to be very serious. Apostrophe, serious. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried the doctor. If you allowed such things to be serious, you must go mad, or die, or climb up to the top of a mountain, and turn hermit. Apostrophe, besides so long ago, apostrophe, said Alfred. Long ago. Apostrophe, apostrophe, returned the doctor. Do you know what the world has been doing, ever since? Do you know what else it has been doing? I don't. Apostrophe, apostrophe, it has gone to lie a little, apostrophe, observed Mr. Snitchey, stirring his tea. Although the way out has been always made too easy, apostrophe, said his partner. And you'll excuse my saying, doctor, apostrophe, pursued Mr. Snitchey, having been already put 1,000 times in possession of my opinion, in the course of our discussions, that, in its having gone to law, and in its legal system altogether, I do observe a serious side now, really, a something tangible, and with a purpose and intention in it, apostrophe, Clemency Newcome made an angular tumble against the table, occasioning a sounding clatter among the cups and saucers. Heyday! What's the matter there? Apostrophe, exclaimed the doctor. It's this evil inclined blue bag, apostrophe, said Clemency, always tripping up somebody. Apostrophe, apostrophe, with a purpose and intention in it, I was saying, apostrophe, resumed Snitchey, that commands respect. Life a farce, Dr. Jeddler? With law in it? Apostrophe, apostrophe, the doctor laughed, and looked at Alfred. Granted, if you please, that war is foolish, apostrophe, said Snitchey. There we agree. For example, here's a smiling country, apostrophe, pointing it out with his fork, once overrun by soldiers, trespassers, every man of 'em, and laid waste by fire and sword. He. The idea of any man exposing himself, voluntarily, to fire and sword. Stupid, wasteful, positively ridiculous. You laugh at your fellow creatures, you know, when you think of it. But take this smiling country as it stands. Think of the laws appertaining to real property, to the bequest and devise of real property, to the mortgage and redemption of real property, to leasehold, freehold, and copyhold estate. Think, apostrophe, said Mr. Snitchey, with such great emotion, that he actually smacked his lips, of the complicated laws relating to title, and proof of title, with all the contradictory. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.